T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Hi, Tom Morello.
Hello.
How are you?
So nice to be here. What's up, rock and rollers of the Boston area?
Thank you for coming in today.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. I first wanted to say thank you very much for helping me celebrate my 20th anniversary on the air here at WAAF.
That was my pleasure. Now, I do love and respect stations like this one that keep the flag of rock and roll flying high. So thank you for your service.
It was my 20th anniversary, and it was Mistress Carrie Day in the city.
Fantastic.
You should have been in town that day,
right?
Because they could have gotten out of speeding tickets and parking tickets. I got one day to change the rules
in this town. Yeah, well, right on. Well, well done. And it's well deserved. And thank goodness. You know, I travel around a lot, and there are a lot of cities that no longer have that used to have an AAF, but don't anymore. So your people of Boston are very, very lucky to have this station.
Well, when you talk about rock and roll, I mean, I don't know if you got the memo yet, but rock is dead. That's
yes.
what the critics have been telling us.
Well,
that's
yeah,
what,
for some time
It's
now.
Been dead for a long, long
for time.
So you and I are just
yeah.
these
well, I
long
got,
in the tooth dinosaurs.
I got to tell you, ages ago, around the formation of Rage Against the Machine in 1991, 92, people were saying that like the electric guitar was dead because now there were DJs who could sample the electric guitar. You didn't need people to actually play it anymore. And that was one part of my impetus for, as a guitarist, to play sounds like DJs played, because I was trying to put them out of business.
You looked at the guitar in a completely different way,
yeah.
not unlike a Hendrix, where you're like, I know what this can traditionally do.
That's
because
right.
it's been done,
yeah.
but I'm going to look at it like an alien from outer space, basically, and say, well, what noise can I make with this switch? What
yeah.
noise can I make with the plug?
Yeah, because the electric guitar is a relatively new instrument on the planet, and it's just, I remember reading guitar magazines growing up, people were saying, you know, it's all been done. I'm like, well, it's just a piece of wood with 6 wires and some electronics. You can manipulate those sounds in a lot of ways and maybe be able to make untraditional songs. So bring us to 2018, my goal is to do that again. Like I've made a record called The Atlas Underground, comes out on October 12th, and the idea was to create a new genre of rock and roll music where I take my big riffs, my crazy guitar playing, and meld them with some of the electronic sounds of 2018 as almost like a Trojan horse to introduce a new generation to hard rocking sound. So,
and you pulled a cast of characters.
Yes.
So for the project, The Atlas Underground, it's the name of the project.
That's
not
correct.
Necessarily
Tom,
a
it's a
band,
Tom Morello
Tom
record.
Tom Morello record.
Tom Morello record. And it's a sonic conspiracy is what it is. like a metal friend of mine, like I always hated EDM music. I thought it was like Italian taxicab music. Then a friend of mine introduced me to a group called Knife Party. And I was like, Knife Party is as heavy as anything in my record collection, and it turns out that they were big Rage Against the Machine fans, and I heard like the aggressiveness and the tension and release of the music, and I had an idea, like the light bulb went on, said, okay, what if we take that concept that you're doing currently, but replace your synthesizers with my electric guitar to make something that is recognizable, but something that is also very futuristic in a way. So from Knife Party to Bass Nectar to Steve Aoki to Mumford & Son to Wu-Tang Clan, Big Boy, Killer Mike, Rise Against, there's a lot of collaborators on this record that under the overarching vision of creating a new kind of rock and roll for the new millennium.
Did you get all of those artists in the room at the same time? Because that's a party I want to go to. That's a lot of weird people in one room.
Well, for example, like I made a track with Gary Clark Jr. So he came over to my studio. We just jammed for 3 hours. And then I took that 3 hours and boiled it down to a 3.5 minute song. Other songs were written intercontinentally, you know, like Marcus Mumford and I were, you know, he'd put his kids to bed in England. I'd drop my kids off to school in Los Angeles. Then we'd come home and Skype with acoustic guitars to write a song.
Can we talk about Gary Clark Jr. for a second?
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
You bring up a guy like Hendrix, and
yeah.
and there's a lot of people that say that Gary Clark Jr. is a guy that kind of channels that same
sure.
energy that
sure.
he just embodies. So as one guitar player to another, when
yeah.
you're looking at a guy like
yeah.
Gary Clark Jr., Does he blow your mind the way he blows all of our minds, too?
He's been really great at sort of moving the, you know, the flag forward for blues music and for rock and roll music and for guitar music, you know, into the future. And he's a great guy, great player, and we had an awesome time jamming together and came up with a song called Where It's At Ain't What It Is, which is on the new Atlas Underground record.
Now, that album comes out next week, right? Okay, the 12th?
October 12th, yeah.
And you're in town tonight at the old, first of all, the old South Meeting House is not a normal place where you go to see a rock show.
That's right.
So is it because the curator went to Harvard with you? How did you pull that off?
In part, it was because, come on down tonight. There's a few tickets left. So this is a very sort of, I'll tell you about the venue in a second, sort of an unconditional, it's an unusual kind of show where it's, you know, it's a listening party. First of all, you get to hear the record beginning to end. Some of the first people in America to hear it loud and proud. You get a copy of the record. Also, there's kind of a conversation where we talk about my entire career, Rage Against the Machine, Audioslave, my time with Bruce Springsteen, and then I shred my ass off. And that's my favorite part, is the night ends with just some, I've brought my guitar, I rock along to, like, you know, Mr. Crowley tracks and Rage, and it's like, it's super fun. It's like this kind of guitar explosion thing.
And then so at the end, you will be assless.
Yeah, we'll be
assless. Because you would have shredded it off.
I will shred it off. But the reason why we chose that place is, you know, it was one of the hotbeds of the American Revolution, and the Tea Party was sort of came together there. And I thought it would be a great place for me to introduce this record, the Atlas Underground record, to my fans here in Boston area.
Well, you brought up Audioslave, so I wanted to play an Audioslave song. You're here.
Yes.
Is it hard for you to listen to your own stuff? Does it get annoying after a while?
I never seek it out. Honestly, I'm never like looking for it. But if I am in the car and an Audioslave jam or a Rage jam or whatever comes on, I do tend to crank it up, as you probably should when you hear this one.
Yeah, so we're going to play Cochise, and you're going to hang, right?
Yes, I'll be
here. All right, Tom Morello here in the WAAF studio. It's Audioslave on AAF. There you go. I just made Tom Morello sit through 3.5 minutes of his own guitar playing. Cochise, Audioslave.
I didn't mind that. That's a jam right there. It's always great to hear the great Chris Cornell singing furiously, you know?
We were just talking about that Chris Cornell box set that's coming out that is going to have all of the, you know, previously unreleased stuff. And included in it is Audioslave from Cuba.
Yes.
From 2015.
Yep. 2005.
Oh, that was 2005.
Yeah, 2005. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a tragedy that never goes away. Chris is passing. But the good news is that this music is forever. And so we can be enjoying it.
And not only are we getting the Chris Cornell music that he left us with, but I know that there's a song on the Atlas Underground that is kind of about Chris or inspired by Chris, or at least the message of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually the song that comes out this Friday. It's called Every Step That I Take, which is a song that I wrote with Matt Schultz from Cage the Elephant. And we're partnering with an organization called SAVE, which is a suicide prevention organization, and just sort of as one way to, you know, continue Chris's legacy and to help people who might be struggling.
I can tell you that with all of, you know, the premature passings that we've had in music, which it happens and has been happening.
Yeah, and not just in music, you know. Yeah.
But I think that a lot of people were most surprised by Chris Cornell. Sure. That
one
really,
myself among them.
Yeah. And you know, the people say, well, how, you know, was there no signs? How did we not know?
Yeah,
And then, you know, if you go back and read the lyrics, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Of course. I mean, through the whole catalog. And that's the way that I look at it is, for someone who wrestled with the demons that Chris wrestled with, the fact that, you know, Chris lived to 52 and managed to harness those demons to make some of the greatest rock and roll of all time, I think we as fans are very, very fortunate for that.
And the fans are now pushing for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
I know.
You're hugely involved in the hall now.
I get to be in the room for some of that. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, Chris, either as a solo artist or Soundgarden as a band, both deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So hopefully that'll happen in the not too distant future.
Are you the enemy now? Are you the guy, the enemy behind the lines now? Because the people were so anti the Hall of Fame for so long. I was one of them.
I mean, I would go, like, I know some of the people, you know, some of my friends, like John Landau, who's Bruce Springsteen's manager, and Jan Wenner, who runs Rolling Stone. They have a lot to do with the Hall. And I was riding them constantly because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was not representing, like, my favorite genre of music. You didn't have, like, Kiss wasn't in, Rush wasn't in, Stevie Ray Vaughan wasn't in. It took Black Sabbath like 20 years to get in, which is so ridiculous. And, you know, like with baseball, if you're a kid and you play baseball, your dream is to have a career that leads you to the Baseball Hall of Fame, right? When you're a kid and you play rock and roll guitar, you hated the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because none of your favorite bands were in it. So I told them, like, that's, you need to fix that. And to their credit, they, I complained enough, they let me be in the, I'm one now one of the people that helps decide who's on the ballot every year. I don't get to pick who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame every year, but I get to decide at least what.
So you can go in there and make an argument for this person. Now, the criteria is 25 years from the date of your first release, right?
Yeah, first record, yeah. So, I mean, I go in there every year yelling about Judas Priest now and Iron Maiden and Motorhead and, you know, and Nine Inch Nails and Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and the bands that, that on that end of the spectrum that definitely deserve to be in.
It, for people that haven't traveled internationally, and you have extensively with multiple projects, a couple months ago I saw Judas Priest in Bucharest.
Oh, wow.
There is a whole other level of rock music passion outside of the confines of the United States.
Yeah, yeah. I just played two solo shows in Brazil headlining these festivals with, like, you know, 40, 60,000 people, and they just want to hear you play electric guitar and go crazy.
Yeah.
I almost used non-radio friendly
word. That's
work.
Okay. We have a button for that. Tom Morello's joining me here in the WAF studio. Can you hang out for a few
minutes? Yes, I'd be happy to.
If you got questions, you could text him into the WAF text line at 97107. Well, I made Tom Morello listen to some more of his music because how can I not play that if you're going to be here?
Oh, there you have it.
Rage Against the Machine here at WAF. Tom Morello joining me in the WAF studio. You're playing at the Old South Meeting House tonight.
Tonight.
For the,
come on down.
The Atlas Underground Experience.
Yes.
Which is the new album you have coming out next Friday,
it's
October 12th.
It's a big listening party. Everybody gets to hear the record before it comes out. I'll be spinning yarns from my Rage and Audioslave and Springsteen
shredding
period,
your ass
and
off.
And I'll be shredding my ass off, and perhaps the song you just heard might make an appearance.
I know I can't keep you all day. I got a couple questions on the text line that I have to ask you real quick. Speaking of Rage Against the Machine, I know you've had to answer the question 1,000 times, but the fans want to know.
Let's go for 1,001, shall
we? Is there a possibility?
If a Rage Against the Machine show breaks out, count me in.
I have to ask you because you're sitting in here wearing a Cubs hat.
Yeah.
And Mike Hsu, our resident baseball expert, has now joined us in the joined us in the WAF studio.
Congratulations to you, Red Sox fan.
Do you?
Best of luck to you.
You're a Cubs fan because you're from Illinois originally.
Yep, that's right.
But you went to college here in Boston, so there's a little bit of Red Sox knowledge of the curse
There's certainly a lot of knowledge of it. Yeah.
So since that time, both the Cubs and the Sox have won the World Series. You guys are both parents.
Yeah.
How do you explain to your children the pain of being a fan of a team like the Cubs or the Sox?
I can tell you, for one, like, my kids, I live in Los Angeles, and my kids don't even know that the Dodgers exist. They are Cubs fans from the first onesies they had on, so they're all in. And, like, I gotta tell you, and they've been fortunate. Like, we've had, like, three Blackhawks Cubs and a Cubs World Series championship during their young lives. They're 7 and 8 years old. So they think, like, Chicago teams always win. They don't know, like, the history of pain, right? So, but last or 2 nights ago, my 7-year-old felt it, you know, when the Cubs lost the way, like, cried himself to sleep. I'm like, baseball hurts, baby. That's what it's like.
That's exactly. Yeah. They'll never know. They're spoiled.
They'll
never know. You know, I always say the Red Sox were like the prom queen, and, like, I was the nerd.
Yeah.
And, like, I finally got the prom queen. You know, and it's awesome. And then she dumps you for, like, this big dumb jock in August. Every August, they would crap out. And then she'd come crawling back in April, and you'd take her back and have your heart stomped on all over
again.
But
we both, here's the thing, like, we both have a lot less to complain about than we once did. When I first did interviews at this station long ago, and I just told my 7-year-old, I said, tomorrow, just pop in Game 7, 2016 on the DVD player and just live the dream again.
Mike and I remember where we were when the Sox won. Where were you when the Cubs won?
I was in the room. I was there.
You were there?
Cleveland. Yeah, I was in Cleveland. Yeah, I was in the room. I wasn't going to miss that for anything. I was in games 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. I mean, I went to Cubs game when I was 4 years old. Like, relatives of mine have passed on, and the day after I did the thing that you're supposed to do, I flew back to Chicago, planted the W flag on my Aunt Isabel's grave, you know, and said, read her the article from the paper and went, and I'm free.
right? It's like, oh.
And only Cubs fans and Sox fans
really
can kind of
understand that.
I was in Key West at my friend's wedding. And we found a bar filled with Cubs fans.
And
we walked in with Sox stuff on, and all the Cubs fans were like, you get this.
You understand
what this experience is like. Come on in and share this with us.
I was on tour that October with Prophets of Rage, and during shows, I would have the phone, the Cubs game, on my phone, on my amp. And so I'd finish a song, or perhaps even during the middle of the song, I'd turn around and be like, okay, count is 3-1, 2 outs in the second. Yeah.
Well,
but anyway, good luck to your fine team. Good luck to you in this.
Yeah, it seems that the rivalry has been stoked once again, if it was ever going to go away.
No, I think it's going to be an exciting series. And I say good luck to you.
So next Friday the 12th, the Atlas Underground, that's your 17th release?
17th studio album.
Can you name every album, every song, every project off the top of your head? Or do you need to
Wikipedia
yourself?
Probably not every song. I can probably
name
all the records. I don't think I can name every song off every record. But yeah, it's a Tom Morello solo record. We're trying to create a new genre of rock and roll that has heavy Morello riffs and crazy solos, but has some of the electronic elements of 2018. We're telling social justice ghost stories on this record. It has a myriad of collaborators from Wu-Tang Clan to Rise Against, and I'm excited and proud of it. Playing tonight at the
Old South Meeting House.
That's right, so come on down.
Yeah, you can go to the concert page at WAF.com, and the link is there to get tickets if you want to go to the show tonight, because there might still be a few left.
Cool, and if you want to check out the record at TomMorello.com, you can pre-order the record and stuff like that. But it's always a pleasure coming here to AAF.
We're so happy to have you.
Yeah,
I tried to get your people to send me the song early, and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't. It comes out tomorrow, and then the album comes out next Friday, but they didn't trust me.
I can play it on my phone.
Maybe I could have done it on Mistress Carrie Day, but not today.
Every day should be Mistress Carrie.
I'm gonna I'll let you go with some Audio Slave.
Okay, cool.
And I really appreciate you coming in. Thank you so much, and thanks to everybody that was texting in. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, thank
for coming
you.
And hanging out.
Thanks
it's not
having me.
You should just have a radio show. I think
it's been suggested, but maybe next time.
All right. Well, if you do, you do it here.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Cheers, everybody.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.